sometimes. Sylvia began to get suspicious, but at first she couldn't picture Harry fooling around with another woman. Harry was a nerd, after all. He was more in love with his damned high-tech hardware than any human being, including her. As the weeks turned into months, though, and stretched into years, she became convinced it was more than his work that was separating them. It was when Harry was hospitalized after the explosion at the test facility that Sylvia realized she didn't really have any feelings for him anymore. She went to the hospital, and it was like she was visiting a stranger. She couldn't even cry about it. She had married an engineer, a man who couldn't or wouldn't show his feelings. Maybe he didn't really have any feelings. She thought she loved him. She bore him two daughters. But now it was all gone, turned to ice. He lay there unconscious on his hospital bed, burned and battered, and she felt like she was looking at a stranger. When he came home to recuperate, Sylvia kept her distance from him. She made up the guest room for him, and even after he was completely healed and had gone back to work, she refused to let him into her bed. It was over. Even the girls knew it. They knew their father was a cold, unfeeling man. When he finally admitted that he'd had an affair with one of the women at his laboratory, Sylvia told him to get out. He acted as if he was numb, as if he'd expected them to break up but couldn't take the first step himself. He left without an argument, without raising his voice even once, which angered Sylvia even more. But that was all in the past. Sylvia settled down to the task of raising her teenage daughters by herself and found that she enjoyed being on her own, with no one to contradict her. She could sit up in bed and read all night if she wanted to. She was still reasonably attractive, she thought. At least that's what her friends told her. A little overweight, but men liked Zoftig women with generous bosoms. Still, she dated very little. It was just too much of a chore, too much of a stupid ritual. She'd been through it all with Harry and found that she didn't really have any interest in going that route again. Sylvia took a job at their congresswoman's local office. It didn't pay much, but with the child support money that Harry paid every month, they were getting by nicely. Today she was especially happy. She had a surprise for her daughters. She'd made all the arrangements and everything was set. Around the breakfast table, she announced, "No school today." Her daughters looked up from their cereal bowls in surprise. "How come?" asked the elder, Vicky. Harry had insisted on naming her after the founder of Anson Aerospace, as if that had made any difference in his career advancement. "I got permission from your teachers to keep you out of class today."
"What's going on, Mom?" Denise asked.
"We're flying to San Francisco and staying overnight in a hotel," Sylvia told him. Beaming, she explained, "Congresswoman McClintock has given me three tickets to the big rodeo at the Cow Palace."
"Rodeo?"
Clear distaste showed on Denise's 14-year-old face.
"Horses and all that smell," said Vicky.
Her smile even bigger, Sylvia explained, "You don't understand. The President of the United States is going to officially open the rodeo. He's giving a speech, and we're going to be sitting in the front row."
"The President?"
Denise looked truly surprised. But Vicky moaned,
"That phony.
He said he was going to start a big green energy program, and he hasn't done a thing."
"Congress hasn't voted on his energy program yet," Sylvia said firmly.
The girls looked at each other.
"I guess,"
Vicky said with a resigned shrug.
Sylvia told them, "You'll be the envy of